So I guess I have to walk around here. Anyways, well, good morning. Let's open in prayer, and I've got a few things to share, and I know it's hot, and if I start sweating really badly, then I'll just sort of wrap it up real quick, or I'll go stand beside one of those fans over there and try to get cooled off. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence with us this morning, and we want to encounter you. I believe we have been. And so I just ask that you would lead the conversation, lead the message right now, and you would just speak individually to us. And again, just thank you for what you're doing here today. Amen. I want to speak this morning about peace. I want to speak to us about how do we, in a practical way as Christians, walk and experience God's peace, especially through difficult times. Each of us have what I call peace robbers. There's things that happen regularly or seem to be similar in our lives. Normally, two or three different ones that just seem to come. For some, it's finances, right? Whether it's a job, it's hard to keep down a job, or we're not making enough money, or at the end of the month, there isn't always enough money there, and then there's just worry that sets in and complications that set in. Finances. Family's a big one. Sickness. A concern for a child. I'm not sure how much I'm going to share about a situation in our lives that happened 8 years ago, just before we went back to Brazil. I talked to my oldest son, David, asked if I could share the story. He said, I'm a different person now, Dad, share whatever you want. But 8 years ago, when we were getting ready to go back to Brazil, we needed to postpone our trip. And we needed to postpone our trip because our oldest boy, we found out, was having some extracurricular activities at school and after school, and it's all getting legalized now, but back then it wasn't. And that totally threw us off, and only a handful of people knew about it. But we know what it's like to be parents when a kid turns and starts making decisions that are contrary to where you want to walk and what you want for them, and who then looks at you and basically says, yeah, I'd rather be with my friends than with you. And so we know what it's like as a parent to go through something that's just very deep, and I remember those moments being on my bed in a fetal position, saying, God, what, how, what now, how are you going to rescue him? Sickness in family, choices from people, relational conflict within family that robs. So finances, family, friends, just relationships with people where there's difficulties. Each one of us, I believe, has one or two or sometimes three things that constantly come. We're walking, everything's fine, then boom. It's like the rug's been pulled out from under you, and now you're down. And it's hard to carry on. It's hard to carry on conversation. It's hard to live. It's hard to interact with the things that are naturally going on, or the things that we should be interacting with around us. We can't, because this is completely taking over our mind and our thinking and our processes. So what I want to do right now is I want to share some scriptures, and at the end I want to do ministry. And I believe there's something very practical that I can leave with us this morning that will help us experience God's peace in a very practical way, ongoing way in our lives. So let's just look at a few scriptures that speak about God's peace. This is very common. We read it at Christmas time, right? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus himself is peace. So if we're going to have peace in our lives, it is going to be a connection with Jesus. It's going to come through Jesus somehow into our lives. It's not just everything working out and having no issues in our lives, because for those of us who are 50 years of age and older, we realize that there's always difficulties in our lives. There's always something that happens. And whenever there's just a real peaceful calmness in stuff going on around us, it's just real easy. Well, you know, that doesn't last very long because life happens, right? So instead of dreaming that somehow everything will be perfect one day and be no problems, we have to realize, no, it's going to be coming all the time. But how can we receive God's peace in a practical way? And I'm telling you, it's connected with Jesus. Outside of Jesus, isn't going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I've memorized this scripture verse, I memorize it this way: may God himself sanctify you through and through. That's what I remember. May God do this work, sanctification, causing me, my life, to become more like Jesus. Do deep work inside of me so my life looks more like Jesus. May God himself. But it's God himself, the God of peace. There's something about God's peace, God bringing his peace in practical ways in our lives into those difficult situations that transforms our lives into the life of Jesus. You tracking with me? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself, again, he's called peace, the Prince of Peace, the God of peace, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace sometimes and in some ways. At all times, the scripture says, and in every way, may the Lord be with you all. When I look at this verse and I meditate in this verse, what do I see? I see that peace comes from God himself, and that he wants to give it to me all the time in every situation. I want you to think right now in your life about what is robbing you peace. What is robbing you of your peace? What is going on in your personal life right now that is difficult, that is stealing God's peace from you? And I know I don't have to wait long because we all know. The Father is saying to us that the Lord of peace himself wants to give you, wants to give me peace in that situation. It is possible for you to experience, for me to experience God's peace in a very practical, tangible way in our lives, in that particular area of your life that you're struggling. And that, quite frankly, is the difference between us who know Jesus and those who do not know Jesus. Because Jesus says he gives a peace that the world does not understand. So this is really important for us, for our sanity, for our joy, for the abundant life that he died for us to experience and to walk in. John 14:27, peace I leave you, peace I give you to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. So again, Jesus is peace. He gives, in fact, he says he's already given it. So if he's already given it, and I'm struggling and not walking and receiving that peace, then I need peace, and I need to figure out why and avail myself to that peace that he has already given. Now, this is an interesting verse. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews talks about Father disciplining those that he loves. Okay, so this passage is coming within that context. And he uses difficult times to discipline us. Don't hear that and go, every difficult time is discipline. Okay, I'm not saying that. He uses difficult times to discipline us, but not every difficult time is actually a discipline from God. Okay, so we have to make sure we're clear on that so that when we go through a difficult time, we're going, okay, he's mad at me. He's disciplining me. He's trying to correct something in my life. We can't do that. It's okay to ask the question, but don't automatically go there. Obviously, if we've, you know, counselors have said that if you've grown up in a family where your father's been very authoritarian, abusive, that kind of a thing, it's very easy for us to transfer that to God the Father. And any difficult time that we walk through, we're thinking he's doing something in our lives. But that's not what the scripture's saying. So with that brief explanation, let's look at the scripture. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. No difficult time seems pleasant, but painful. Absolutely. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and of peace for those who have been trained by it. So through difficult times, he wants to produce a harvest of righteousness, a changed life, a transformed life, a life that looks more like Jesus, and he wants to produce a harvest of peace within us, the peace which passes all understanding. And that will come if we allow him to train us through either the discipline or through the difficult time that we're facing. If any difficult time that you and I are facing right now, if we will allow the Father to train us through that difficult time, we are going to see some great things, a harvest of righteousness and of peace come about in our lives. You know, it's tough to speak on this because even this week I was thinking about it. I've spoken this message before and I went, do I really want to speak on this? Because typically when you speak on something, you're challenged afterwards. You know? I do want a harvest of righteousness. I do want a harvest of peace. I do want to be that person that's walking with Jesus, that's going through a difficult time, that is able to still walk in his peace and experience that. Most Christians who have gone through difficult times and come out the other side and have met God in that difficulty will say, you know what, I didn't really enjoy that, but I'm sure glad about what he did in my life through that, right? Final verse here before we look at a little story. Common verse that we use, popular verse about peace and receiving God's peace. Scripture says, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So whatever situation we're in, we're to bring that to God through prayer, petitioning, with thanksgiving. And it says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there's no question that as we go through difficult times, if we will bring those things to the Father in prayer with thanksgiving, thanking him for the difficult, thanking him that he's going to bring peace, thanking him that he's going to meet us in that situation, then there's going to be something that results from that. I want to share a passage of scripture here that we'll do some ministry around. I want to read it first of all, and then tell you a little story. This was just after Jesus fed the 5,000. So he's just been with the 12. He does this incredible miracle around everybody. I'm actually not too sure how much the 5,000 knew of the miracle. I mean, we're assuming that they knew he only had five loaves and two fishes. We're assuming they knew the finer details. But those who really knew the finer detail were the 12. Because what the masses were told was to sit in groups of here and here and here, and then food started being handed out, right? So we don't really know if they know the actual details. But that had happened. The disciples had experienced, witnessed, participated in that miracle. And this is what happens. That day when the evening came, so that same day, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along, just as he was, in the boat. And there were other boats with them. So it's not just one boat leading. There's a party of boats. There's a bunch of people going in the water, okay? A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Have you ever been in a boat that's been nearly swamped? Okay. When we were kids playing a rowboat and a canoe, we would do that, right? You sort of tip it over, fill it with water, and it's just, and it doesn't take much to sort of go over and the whole thing goes down, right? Doesn't take much. So they're actually in the boat. The boat is taking on water. It says it's nearly swamped. So this isn't just a little bit of water coming in. They're just bailing it out, right? There's some panic going on here. And what's Jesus doing? The scripture says he's in the back of the boat sleeping. I still don't get that. How do you, when the boat is filling almost swamped, like is he lying on this bench with a cushion and the water is just hovering below and as it swashes back to shore, he's getting wet, but he's asleep? But I mean, the boat has water. But he is asleep. The disciples woke up and said, "Teachers, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Now, interesting, most people, when they remember this story, they believe that Jesus got up and rebuked the disciples. He rebuked the wind and the waves. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid, and why do you still have no faith?" And again, with that thinking that Jesus is rebuking them, they're hearing Jesus say, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still don't have any faith?" I don't really know if that was his tone. I really don't know if that's his tone. I'm not going to focus on that right now, but it'd be good to go back and look at that. They were terrified and asked, "Who is this?" Let's go back to this for a moment. Jesus is in the boat. Water's coming over. When I look at that, there's two realities going on. There's Jesus' reality, and he is asleep. And there's the reality of everybody else. And the question we have is, what's true reality? In that situation, what's the real reality? Is it Jesus' reality, or is it the reality that everyone else was experiencing? So I was in a group, Cindy and I were in a group this past year. We're at a friend's house, and we're doing a thing called imaginative prayer. And we were using this story. An imaginative prayer, from what I understand, and I'm no expert on this, was that each of us, after we read this story a few times, we closed our eyes, and we imagined ourselves being in the story, right? Being one of the disciples, being in the boat, something, being there, and observing what was going on. And I don't, some people find that weird. Some people find that a little hard stretch, so we shouldn't do that. I used to do that all the time as a preacher when I was preparing messages. I'd go, "Jesus, what was going on in the story?" I would ask that question. What was going on? I would think about it and go, "Well, if I was there, what would I be thinking?" And so I just did it naturally, right? So you're trying to figure out what was going on, right? So we all shared. So one of the guys in the group, he said this. He said, and I'm telling you what he saw in his mind's eye, this thing. I'm not saying this is exactly what happened. So there is a distinction here. He said, it was as if Jesus was lying in the boat and there was a bubble over him. And he was living in a bubble of peace. And everyone else was outside the bubble. And they were not experiencing this peace. That there was a reality of Jesus over here sleeping that no one else was able to participate or wasn't participating at that time. And Jesus got up, and once he woke up, he got up, and as he rebuked the wind and the waves, as he spoke, "Be quiet," he said, "I saw his arms go out like this, and the bubble expanded over the disciples, over the boat, over the water, and everything calmed." Now, hear me on this. I did not say the scripture said Jesus was in a bubble. Jesus got up and expanded his arms out, and there's a bubble. I didn't say that. I was saying this person had a picture, an image, that I grabbed onto that and said, that is a powerful image. Because clearly, Jesus had a reality that was different than the disciples, that was different than anyone else in the other boats. Their reality was different than Jesus. And Jesus, when he got up and he spoke and he moved his arms and he said, be quiet, be still, all of a sudden, everyone experienced the same reality he was living in. You tracking with me? So, that is true. He was living in a reality that the others weren't, and all of a sudden, everyone experienced his reality. So the question is, how can we experience the reality that Jesus lives in? Because whatever difficulty you're going through today, and I'm going through today, and my family's going through today, we can experience the reality of Jesus as opposed to my personal reality. And so what I have found myself doing since this time is in prayer, when I'm praying and bringing something to God that I am concerned about, that I am worried about, I actually use this very practical prayer. I say, Jesus, I'm not living in your reality. Could you please expand your bubble, your reality, so that I come under that? In this particular situation, I need your peace practically in this situation because I don't have it. Does that make sense? Folks, that is practical. He is the God of peace. He wants to give us peace in every situation and in every way. But it just doesn't happen. We need to engage him. And just as the disciples went, Jesus, Jesus, we need you, we need you. They said, don't you care? We can go, Jesus, Jesus, can you please just stretch your arm over me? Most of us here, well, not young ones don't have kids because you are kids, but, you know, if we have children and when they were younger, if they were feeling afraid and they came to us, and we could see they were afraid, or they were crying, or they said, Daddy, I'm afraid, or Mommy, I'm afraid, we would do this. Our arm would naturally go out, and we would embrace, and we would hold, and we would secure. And that's all we're doing, folks. Jesus, I don't know what to do with this. This is overwhelming me. Will you stretch out your hand? I want your covering. I want your peace. You better believe he's going to do it. Now, it's good if you take some time alone and be quiet and do that and not be running around here and running around there and running around here and never slowing down. I've told this story many times. My son David, I would see when he was out of sorts and I'd grab him and I'd put him on my lap and I'd hold him and he'd be wiggling around and he'd want to get off and I wouldn't let him go until he calmed down. I wouldn't let him go until... like peace entered him and he just sort of relaxed in my arms. And I'd say, okay, now you're ready, now you're secure, you go off and play, right? And we need to do that. So what I would like to do right now is I'd like us to, you don't have to stand. I like to stand and put my hands in front of me. That's just, when I'm sitting down and do that, I seem to fall asleep, and it doesn't seem to work for me, so that's just me. Other people, my wife likes to sit with her hands, so it's whatever's comfortable for you. I would like to encourage us to get into a position where we can dialogue with God and just be quiet before him. Again, I like to stand with my eyes closed, with my hands out. You can sit with your hands open, but posture yourself in a receiving way, and I want to lead us through just a time of talking with the Lord, okay? So this is our practical component here of the message. That's right, some people are kneeling. Feel free. So with our eyes closed, let's just dialogue with the Father. Father, I want to thank you for your presence and that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, God of Peace, the Lord of Peace. And right now, what I'd like you to do is I would like to imagine in your hands the difficulty that's robbing you of peace right now. It might be a financial concern. It might be a job concern. It might be a family difficulty, relational difficulty, a sickness. Whatever it is, I want you to imagine that that is in your hands right now. And you are offering this to Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, I don't know what to do with this. Would you please stretch out your arm of peace over me and over my situation? Stretch out your hand and let me experience your reality. So come, Jesus. Bring your peace, Father. Thank you that you are practical. Let your peace come. Let his peace come. It's not resolving the problem. It's not cleaning up the problem, getting rid of it. But it's in the midst of the problem we are receiving his peace and his presence. Thank you, Lord. In your situation, the struggle, the concern that you have is not too small and it's not too big. Father, in closing, I want to say that obviously we want you to work deeply in these areas. We want your will to be done in these areas. We want healing in these areas. We want deliverance in these areas. But I want to say to each of us this morning, my friends, my family here, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I want to encourage you this week, when fear comes, when things stir up inside of you, and you know that your peace is being robbed, I want to encourage you to talk to Jesus about that and say, it's happening again, Jesus. I'm outside of the bubble. I'm outside of your reality. I really want to live in your reality. Could you stretch your arm out over me, your son, your daughter? Envelop me. And then let the peace of Christ practically come and rule in your heart. And Father, I pray that this would become a reflex for each of us here. something that we just do, a habit that we do, that we experience your peace, and it becomes like muscle memory that it's easy to go back to. It's easy to fall back into that groove. It's easy to experience your peace and your care. And thank you that has come to us because of what you did on the cross for us. The cross, which is foolishness for those who are perishing, but for those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So we want to walk in the power of God that came through the cross and experience your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.